This is Making Docs. I'm Paul, an aspiring documentary film producer.
And I'm Caroline, a freelance documentary director. We speak to industry professionals to get practical advice on the filmmaking process.
In this episode, we continue our conversation with professional filmmaker Thomas Meadmore, discussing his experience of successfully raising £40,000 through popular crowdfunding platform Kickstarter. I'd like to talk to you now, Tom, about the crowdfunding campaign that you did for your latest film, The Cancer Conflict.
Yeah.
I believe that it was a success. You raised the money that you wanted to. Was it about £40,000?
£40,000.
That you were aiming for? Could you firstly explain a bit more about the Cancer Conflict film?
Yeah.
First of all, so a synopsis on that, and then we'll get into the crowdfunding campaign.
Sorry, I just drank some water. I just burped. I'm really sorry about that.
And just
disgusting.
Ate two chocolate bars faster than
they
I think
weren't
I've
chocolate
seen.
Bars. They were quinoa bars, quinoa quinoa bars,
and a flapjack. I haven't seen anyone eat those things.
You
that
put
fast
me under
before.
Pressure. That's why you put me under pressure. Come on, Tom. I got to record this thing. So the Cancer Conflict is a documentary about two people and their choices of how to treat their cancer. One choosing conventional, one choosing alternative treatments, and it follows them as they go down the rabbit hole of what the experience is like, while at the same time investigating the consequences of these choices, because they're vastly different, alternative and conventional, within the context of 50% of people turn to alternative medicine at some point, which is quite astounding. So yeah, that's what it's about.
Did you meet one of the characters, or why did you decide to make that film about cancer?
Well, it's directly relevant to our previous conversation. I had just finished How to Lose Jobs, Nailing Out Girlfriends. I think I had.
First feature film.
My first movie. Had I released it? I think I might have. I can't remember.
I think you might have sold.
I think I might have just released it.
iTunes or released it on iTunes.
I think I might have just released it, or I might have just played some festivals. I think I'd just played at festivals and gone out there. And I was starting to feel the sense that it had not achieved what I wanted it to achieve. Mm-hmm. My goal was to make a film that was going to give people a meaningful experience. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling like it was a failure, mm-hmm. or I hadn't achieved it the way I wanted to. And I thought, okay, I really want to make a film that's going to give people a meaningful experience. It's going to be of benefit and to help people. Mm-hmm. And was looking for something. I just met a woman by the name of Candy Brady, who made a great doco called Trashed about the rubbish mm-hmm. around the world mm-hmm. With Jeremy Irons, and it went to Cannes. It did really well. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to make a film that is meaningful like this film. Mm-hmm. And someone got in touch with me, Robin Daly, this guy, got in touch with me about a conference they were doing exploring integrative medicine. And it started from there. Mm-hmm. That was at the end of 2014. Started investigating it, and I found out all these stats, like the UK had the lowest survival rate yeah. for cancer in Western Europe, and 50% of people turn to alternative medicine, and mm-hmm. there's lots of arguments that are about which route to choose, and the whole idea of choice, patient mm-hmm. choice, was really interesting to me, mm-hmm. and that's how it started.
And before turning to crowdfunding, I assume you had other finance or financial ideas in mind to get the fundings you needed for the film, or was it like straight to crowdfunding?
No. I mean, I crowdfunded at the end of 2016. Yeah. This was at the end of 2014. So I was making the film for 2 years and the principal photography was complete well and truly by the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I funded it out of my own pocket. My background professionally is in television editing. So mm-hmm. you'll see my name pop up as the editor on mm-hmm. many a food program. Mm-hmm. on UK TV. Mm-hmm. And that's been bread and butter for a long time.
So you had the resources to fund the film
in a way.
You felt enough to get going.
I mean, I cash flowed it. I had people, I was paying people, but I was paying them like cheap.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, really cheap rates. But I was mm-hmm. paying people, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the idea to put some initial cash behind it yourself to get filming, to get a teaser, to
try
and get some more money?
It's funny because I didn't intend to start making a whole film. I was put in touch with a couple of prominent producers in the UK mm-hmm. and told them I was putting this teaser together, and they were quite interested. There was one producer in particular, very, very prestigious producer here, who was interested in it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I'll go and do a couple of days filming with these two people and put a taster together. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then their journeys were happening. And I just got inspired by it. I thought, wow, this is actually really interesting. This is good stuff. I know that I can do something good with this. So I just started following them. And this person, eventually, the producer I'm talking about, fell away. And I was on my own again. Mm-hmm. And we just continued. I just continued.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't stop and think, oh my God, I need a hell of a lot of money to get this off the ground.
No, I just thought, I want to make a film. And I have the means. And even if I didn't have the money, I would have just filmed it myself, like the first one.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great thing, because I think especially young emerging filmmakers or people coming out of film school, we worry so much about the budget. And you just said, like, you have to film it on your iPhone. Yeah.
I'd film it on my iPhone if I didn't have anything else. You make a great film on your iPhone.
Yeah.
It would. So at what point did you decide to do the crowdfunding?
I'd shot most of it by the time 2016 came around. I had been through all the material and I was in the process of beginning the edit. And I thought, okay, I can't go on editing this for 5 years like I did my first film. This can't go on for years and years and years. This has to be done now and has to be finished. And so I thought, okay, I need to pay. I hate asking for favors. I really don't like it. I like, if people are going to work with me, I'd much prefer to pay them. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I had this idea. I thought, if I just sit down, I remember that was the night that Brexit happened. Oh. I was working night shift. I was working night shift on Big Brother. I was cutting Big Brother and I had a night off. And when you're doing night shift, you have to stay in the rhythm of night shift. So I was up all night this one night, my night off or day off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how am I going to finish this film? And I had the idea, I'll crowdfund to get the edit done. I just need 9 weeks in the edit with me and maybe Nick Guttridge. Mm-hmm. He and I were collaborating on it already then. I thought, just me and Nick in the edit, we'll get this done. Bish, bash, bosh. Mm-hmm. That's all I need to do. And so I was like, okay, crowdfund. I can do that. I can do that. And so that's where I just started.
So rather than going out there with the teaser or taster and going, guys, I've got this amazing thing.
I've done that already.
You've done that already?
I've done that already. Yeah, I've done that. I'd sent it to Salon, who I've done a lot of work with. They had it for a little while. Popcorn, they're a company in London. Their development team had it for a little while. Oh, God. Yeah.
What do you mean had it?
Oh, you pitch a project to a production company, a teaser and a deck, like a pitch document, which outlines what the film is and who the people are. You give it to them and go, what do you think? And they go, oh, yeah, we like this. Yeah, we think we can get behind this. And what they then do is they then set about reaching out to their contacts, whether it be broadcasters or whether it be independent finances, to raise the money, or distributors to see what, you know, to raise the money or at least assess market value. So when I say it was with Popcorn, that's what was happening. So I'd actually been working there with Nick Guttridge on a job called for Channel 4 or 5 called Rich Kids of Instagram, and I got along really well with their development person and said, oh, I'm working on this film on the side, Cancer Conflict, and they really liked the taster. I've got this great taster. It was a really strong teaser. Mm-hmm. Said, well, we really like this. So they took it and sent it out to the BBC and Channel 4. Mm-hmm. I always confuse Channel 4 and 5. Channel 4, I think they sent it to, you know, oh, maybe it'll be good for their first cut strand. Maybe it'll be good for this or that. No one was interested.
Really?
No one was. I mean, they all said this is great.
Yeah, a film about cancer.
But they either had a film about cancer already, or I wouldn't be surprised if people had a real problem with the fact that it was giving it was discussing alternative medicine. And that I had no idea. Like, I was so green when I started the film. I had no idea the ethics and responsibility that's required when discussing this subject. I had no idea the impact. So I had no prep for being able to counter people coming back going, this is a problem, the alternative medicine issue. No. So I had no idea. I was so bloody green. I did that with a bunch of companies. It was with Maverick TV for a while as well. They were going to develop into a big series and that didn't work out.
So you thought the money was going to come and it didn't come. And then you thought crowdfund.
Well, I thought I got to finish this film. I got to finish it.
So once you had the idea of crowdfunding, how did you approach it? Did you like look up different platforms, or what was the idea behind it? Can you bring us or take us through the process? Yeah,
I just believed that this would be a good project for crowdfunding. I think I just met Sophie Robinson as well. I think she and I judged together. Yeah. You know, yeah. Sophie. I think she and I judged together, and she had been successful with My Beautiful Broken Brain, and we got along really well. So I was chatting to her about it. I think she just finished a second crowdfunding campaign that was successful as well for a film that they're still in the process of making called about Chumbawamba, this band from the 90s. Mm-hmm. So she'd done it twice. And I was like, I can do this. I can do this. I'm sure I can. This is about cancer. It's an important subject, blah, blah, blah. I just put the taster together. I'd already seen that while I didn't get the money, I knew that there was some legs with it. I knew that there was something there. So I believed in it. That was, like, without a doubt, the most important thing, that I believed I could do it.
Well, there's a need to have the film made.
Well, there was
educational on cancer.
It felt like there was a demand for it with the around the people as well. The people around me wanted it. I tried to walk away from the film a few times as well because it was like just the process of filming it and just going
such a big subject.
Funding it was extremely difficult, and I kept getting drawn back. So I was like, okay, well, this has got to happen. Once I'd made the decision to do it, I began to research, do research around seeking out case studies on other films that had been successful. And I did an enormous amount of research on crowdfunding generally. What are the pros? What are the cons? What are the yeses? What are the nos? Mm-hmm. What are the kinds of techniques that people have to employ in crowdfunding campaigns to be successful or to maximize the opportunity to be successful? Up until that point, I had actually contributed to a number of crowdfunding campaigns. People don't do them so much anymore, actually. I haven't seen too many people do them so much. But up until that point, I'd contributed to a number of films as well.
Mm-hmm. Contributed in what way?
Well, I'm doing a crowdfunding campaign. Can you contribute some money? Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, I'll give you 50 quid.
I'd give you
100 quid.
I thought you meant help. 10 quid.
No, well, I mean, yeah, contributed financially.
With money.
Yeah. That's what you officially call as a contributor once you give money to one. So I had contributed and I had observed which had been successful and which hadn't. I'd seen one person I know do a crowdfunding campaign for a very small amount of money for their film. They're a very close friend of mine. I won't mention them, their name. Mm-hmm. And it was for a very small amount of money and they didn't do it. They didn't get it at all. Mm-hmm. Basically, what had happened was they made a video, put together some words, and just put it on them, just made it live, made it go live. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
And didn't push it.
No, they didn't. And I saw that and I thought, well, interesting. Okay. So when it was my turn to do it, I researched it like nothing else. And there were a few things that came up that became very clear. One of the first things that happened was, I realized you had to build your own niche audience first. You needed to have a group of people that you could present the campaign to. Mm-hmm. I needed to find a group of people who wanted the film, and I needed to create a need for the film in them.
And find like a small community you think is going to donate a fair amount.
Case studies that were successful. There was one film, there's a great case study out there I recommend anyone going to, which is called, I think it's called Tiny Little Houses or Small Houses. I can't remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. Basically, these filmmakers identified a small community group out there of people who lived in minimalist housing, sustainable minimalist housing. Mm-hmm. And they raised $7,000 Australian, I think, to go out and make a little taster, and they use that taster to then, in that process, they connected with the community of people who did this very niche community, reasonable enough in size, but a very niche community. And then they use that taster to pitch to that community a crowdfunding campaign to raise the money they needed to make the whole film. And I think they raised around like 50 grand or something, or maybe it was a modest amount as far as films are concerned. Yeah. But they then pitched to that community. Now, this community would love a film about what they do. Mm-hmm. Guarantee you, if someone released a movie about entrepreneurs, Paul, you would be like, yeah, I definitely want to watch that because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm going through this whole process. I'd love to see what other people are doing. And, you know, you would.
I'd be interested.
You'd be interested.
Yeah, or a film about wearing your baseball hat back to front.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know about that. You're a much deeper, more richer person than that, Paul. Yeah. I don't think you'd go for that
If it was a film about how to pull that off, I'd be interested.
So I was like, okay, so I could see logically how it would work if I connected to my community of people who could have a need for this film, mm-hmm. that they would contribute a small amount of money to helping me make it. So how do I get those people? Mm-hmm. So I started, I already had a Facebook page for the film, mm-hmm. And I started to feed that Facebook page with content.
Your own content, you My created content. That. Yeah.
I created the content. Yeah. So I either took material from the film or I filmed new things. New interviews or special things, you know, with me and my iPhone next to an oncologist talking about, because I'd been, and this is an important thing, because I'd been immersed in this world for 2 years, I knew enough about it to know what was on the tip of the tongue mm-hmm. of people going through it. So I would pick out the niche, the specifics, subjects that people wanted to hear people talk about, mm-hmm. and I went and talked about it with people. So it was content people wanted. Mm-hmm. So I was feeding these people with content that was of value to them. Mm-hmm. And what I started to do, and then I realized I needed to research social media techniques. Now, I'd actually made a film with Nick Guttridge, funnily enough. When I met Nick Guttridge, I was editing a film that he was producing called Sophie Ellis Bextor on Fame. And it was all about how fame was changing in the modern era, thanks to social media. Mm-hmm. And as a result of making this film, I got a real, this is what happens when you edit films, it's amazing. You become an expert in subjects in a very small amount of time. So I had just literally been given some very insightful information by social media, from social media influencers, had been very successful in building their own audiences mm-hmm. with makeup blogs mm-hmm. or just personal stuff like here I am at my bed and I'm waking up now I'm going to go do this yeah. with a British accent, you know. you know, and I could see how much impact and all the tricks and all the things that they were doing mm-hmm. and I could see that the audiences for people were more and more online like ever before and I was mm-hmm. like, okay. So I was armed with all of this. So I started building this community. So I started using the techniques I was learning, I had learned in building my own community. So finding other pages and other groups where other audience members were, and I would find a way to get my content in front of that audience, and it would of course lead them back to my page, and the page would build, etc. and so forth. And, you know, learning all about social media. So what's the important thing about social media? You've got to engage. The whole thing about social media is you've got to be engaged with people. So every time someone would comment, I would make sure I would comment and I would be a presence. Mm-hmm. So it's a personal thing. The whole thing about social media is it's personal.
What platform different to television. Did you focus
Facebook.
On?
Facebook.
Facebook. And why Facebook over the others?
Because that's where the numbers were.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where the numbers were that I could see. That I could say. They're all the Facebook groups about talking about cancer.
And how much content would you have to post to engage people? Because it was of high quality, okay, the stuff that you were making, but how much time and effort were you putting into this as well?
A lot. So I actually just released How to Lose Jobs, Nail and Net Girlfriends on iTunes, and I went back to Australia for 6 weeks to visit family, and I was working at on a job while I was out there as well. Mm-hmm. And I decided to what I would describe is I built a machine. Mm-hmm. I set up a series of things that I knew that I needed in order to give this the best chance possible. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I did was I built a website for the film. Mm-hmm. That website had all the information about the film, me, and had some valuable content on there as well. And there was another tool that website did that was very specific and almost the reason why the website existed in the first place, and that was to collect email addresses.
So a very simple website. On what platform did you build that?
I can't remember. WordPress, maybe?
Oh, that would have been a while ago, though, so it might not be as relevant anymore.
I think it's WordPress.
It was WordPress, and it was just a landing page with information.
No, there's various pages on there about the filmmakers, etc.
Right.
But the whole function of it was to collect email addresses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those email addresses went into a database mm-hmm. and were extremely valuable. Still got them all and a mailing list, building a mailing list. Mm-hmm. This is why people always are asking you for your email addresses mm-hmm. because an email address is the most effective direct marketing that exists, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They are a captive audience mm-hmm. for you and your product, and they are also more than likely going to be the most interested in your product mm-hmm. because they have gone to the trouble of giving you their email address. Yeah. So once they're on, you have a direct line to customers. Yeah. And I'm talking about this purely from a marketing point of view, yeah. like sales and marketing point of view. So if you think you've got 5,000 emails, right, there is going to be a percentage of those 5,000 people that when you send out a bulk email to everybody, they are going to engage. So it's a game of numbers, sales. Mm-hmm. So get as many goddamn emails.
Just to give us an idea, what kind of response rate would you have or open rate? Did you know that at the time?
I had a very, very high. So as this is what was interesting. So I'll get to that. I'll get to that. The engagement and open rate. I'll get to that in a minute. So I built the website. And then at every opportunity on the social media page, I would find a way to drive people to that website. Mm-hmm. Or in the other way, drive people to the social media page mm-hmm. as well. And at the same time, I was finishing the trailer. Mm-hmm. This is all when I was in Australia, actually. I employed my mum to help with all of this.
Oh, good old mums.
Les, good on ya. And I set about in my head the launch date for, now bearing in mind you've got to create all the content for the website and you've got to build the website, that was expensive and it was time consuming.
Expensive? Yeah.
A couple of few grand.
Nowadays,
a couple of grand it costs. You
can create sites on Wix and Squarespace and you can do that for free as long as you're a creative person.
I think, you want to do it, but I don't know about that stuff and I mean, you know.
No, so you paid.
I paid someone to do
some
it.
Some friends
I
to
paid,
help
no,
you
No, not
that.
A friend. I paid a professional person to do it. But they gave me a good deal. It cost me about $2,000. I could bring out the numbers, actually.
Okay, so before you've even raised any money on the crowdfunding campaign, you're a couple
spending
thousand
money.
Pounds
spending
down.
Spending money. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Then,
so you had a launch date.
I decided the launch date was going to be the 9th of November, which mm-hmm. was the night that Donald Trump was voted in as the President mm-hmm. of the United States. Mm-hmm. I'll just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah. There's lots of omens going
okay?
on. Yeah.
Okay. So launch date is going to be, yeah. right. Okay. So that means, so this is July. Mm-hmm. That means I've got what? July, August, September, October, 4 months, mm-hmm. three and a half months till I launch. Mm-hmm. At this stage, I'd done all heaps of research. I'd spoken to so many people about do's, don'ts, pros, cons. I wanted to get to look in every nook and cranny mm-hmm. under every stone because I thought if I'm going to build this thing, if I'm going to go for this thing, I cannot give myself any reason or excuses to think I should have done that, mm-hmm. that I didn't pre-see. Mm-hmm. So I researched the hell out of it. And I'm an addict, right? I like hyper-focus. Yeah. So at the same time of building this website, and I'm working full time as well at the time mm-hmm. as well, I start work at 9, I finish work at 7, mm-hmm. doing what I do. Those are the kinds of hours. I go home. I didn't have a relationship at the time, so I had more time. I did some exercise, and then at 9 until 1, I would work on this mm-hmm. Every night. And then all weekend.
We don't recommend this, people. That's workaholism.
I had a breakdown at the end of this whole process. I lost a tooth. See that tooth?
Yeah.
And that's gone. Gone because of anyway, that's a whole other story. So anyway.
But if you want to be successful, these are the things you have to go through.
This is how I was successful.
Time-wise, you'd spend 4 hours
a day. At least. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I was doing some cheeky work on it while I was at work as well. Yeah. Because if I was able to get ahead during the day at work, I would go off and I'd send an email or whatever. So I was always on the case. I was still delivering at work. Still delivering and doing a very good job at what I was doing, but there's always, you know, things that I was doing. So I was also putting the final touches on the trailer.
And sorry to interrupt, Tom. Besides the professional website builder, it was you. It was only you.
It's just me.
Yeah.
It was just me. Yeah. And mum. But mum was working full time. she was doing stuff, but she was, do you know what? She was doing a lot. She was probably the most helpful was her moral support. She believed in it. She believed in me. And
that's what mums are there for.
No, but my mum's harsh. If she didn't think I should do it, she would have told me. So that was good.
So
I was finishing
there.
The trailer. So the trailer, now the trailer had already been done. That was quite a job. And that's a huge part of it. Yeah. Massive part of it.
Had you picked your crowdfunding platform by this point?
Kickstarter. It was between Kickstarter, Possible, which is an Australian one. There's one other one. What's the other one? Indiegogo. The reason why Kickstarter, I went with Kickstarter, I think on Sophie's advice and a few other people's as well, because there's something about all or nothing campaigns mm-hmm. where people feel pressure towards the end to sort of really oh my God, after, you know, they get on the journey, they go on the journey with the film, and, you know, if it's $5,000 short, they're going, oh my God, it's, you know, we need to do something, that they get on board to help.
Yeah.
And there's also something else. I went to an entrepreneur's seminar, and they're talking about crowdfunding, and that...
And they recommended it.
Well, there's just something about if a film doesn't reach its goal, then it doesn't have... It's a real tester, a litmus test of the audience. If it doesn't reach the goal, the demand isn't there, kind of thing. So I was like, all right, I'll go with Kickstarter. Plus it had a bit... It was probably the biggest there was, which actually does make a difference because they have their own audience.
Yeah.
And they give you advice on what to include on their page
to
make it
really.
Work.
No? Oh, kind of, yeah. Kind of.
So you had the teaser, the trailer.
The teaser was cut, but and that was a job in of itself. So if we factored into this, that was a couple of months worth of work, that taster to put together as well. And that had been done for about 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
So all this content, gathering all this content is a massive amount of work. Yeah. All the content that I put on the website, that had either existed somewhere else or I had to write it and build it. That's a huge amount of work itself. Yeah. Then while this is going on, this is all in Australia. Had the music written, the trailer graded and sound mixed. Mm-hmm. That cost another couple of grand.
Mm-hmm.
Then what I started to do while I was out there was I started to gather video content with people to feed into the Facebook page. And I started to basically program, because the Facebook page started to grow. Like it went from like a couple of hundred and me posting sporadically to 1,000 fairly quickly. When you hit 1,000, you're like, oh. Well, actually, that's a meaningful number of people that have engaged with my page. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. So I started doing interviews with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that interviews, video interviews, had the best engagement rate on Facebook. What I found when I'd post these interviews is people would watch them and comment. People would comment and engage and discussions would happen.
A few people
would share it. And I was like, oh, my God. Now, I had just gone through this process with How to Lose Jobs and Internet Girlfriends. I'd released it into the cinema. It had been released into the cinema. It had been released on iTunes. It had publicity behind it. It had a Facebook page. I had all the video content. I'd done all this sort of stuff. No one engaged with it. Obvious reasons, there's not really a reason for people to or need to. People can watch the film and get something from it and enjoy it. But in terms of really getting behind it, there's no cause there. So I'd witnessed it not happen with another film, go through this whole process with another film and it not happen. Started to happen with this one. And I'm like, oh, this is very promising. This is very encouraging. So I started to do more and more video stuff. Now I'm editing all that sort of video stuff as well, which is really a lot of work.
Yeah.
Very time consuming. But what I started to do is I did two things at this point. I created a schedule for the campaign. And I created a schedule for the Facebook and social media. I came to realize that social media is kind of like television insofar as, let's say Facebook is ITV and each person on Facebook is like one show, a show. What's your favorite show on television? Let's say it's X Factor. What's that on? What channel is that on?
You're losing me now. I know what X Factor is, but what channel is it on? No, I'm trying to think what channel X Factor.
Whatever. It's a show. And each person on Facebook is like a show, right?
Yeah.
So Facebook has millions and millions of shows. Yeah. Millions of shows, right? But I guarantee you tune into the show that's relevant to you and interesting to you and is giving you content that you like, right? And that's of value, right?
Yeah.
You'll tune into that group or that page. You'll subscribe to it.
So every page, sorry, is like
page.
A show.
Page is
yeah,
like a show.
Yeah, it's like people.
Or a person,
like...
but not about in Instagram, it's people.
A follower, yeah.
It's
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
It's the same thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you'll subscribe to it. So if you're giving them good content that's relevant to them, they will stick around. They will stick around and invariably it will grow. That will grow, right? So I started to do that. And what I had to do is I programmed my Facebook page. I had to build a program. I had to basically become like someone who runs a television program, a station, and go, okay, what's going to be at the 7 o'clock slot? What's going to be the 8 o'clock slot? What's going to be the 9 o'clock
so
slot?
So you scheduled all this content.
I scheduled months and months of content.
Mm-hmm.
What did you use to do that? Did you just
use
Facebook itself or did you have a
separate? Oh, I just had a spreadsheet.
Oh,
created a spreadsheet and went, okay, interview with so-and-so. And I'd have to go out, get the interview, put it together. I'd actually upload it to Facebook and then go, okay, you can schedule it in Facebook.
Yeah.
So that whole schedule, that meant, now that machine running meant that my audience, who I was eventually going to launch my campaign to was going to be fed, it was going to be growing, and it was going to be happy. Right. So when I eventually was going to launch the campaign, they'd be like, yes, a film. Yes. Right. Okay. So I was doing that. And then what I started to do is I knew I had this great asset. I had the trailer. No one had seen the trailer. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put all this content out talking about this issue that all these people is relevant to all these issues. This person suffered from cancer. This person, blah, 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 blah. We're all talking about it. Yep, we're having the conversation that needs to happen or that people feel need to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to drop this trailer on, oh God, when was it? October something, I think I dropped it. Mm-hmm. So I started to tease the trailer. The trailer, oh, by the way, everyone, this trailer's going to come. The trailer's coming in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. In the meantime, here's an interview with so-and-so. Hey, everyone, the trailer's coming in a week. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, here's an interview with so-and-so. So people are getting excited about it. People are feeling enthusiasm about it. And while all this is happening, I'm planning for the actual campaign itself, knowing that once, you know, 2 months after the trailer's being launched, no one knows about the campaign, not talking about a campaign, nothing. 2 months after the trailer's being launched, I'm going to say, okay, we've got the film. It's at this point. Now we need your help. Mm-hmm. So they're really engaged. They're engaged in the conversation and they're engaged in the specific project that I'm doing. And they're also possibly more important, one of the most important things that's undervalued, is they're engaged in me. They're engaged in Tom Meadmore, the filmmaker, who's guiding them and providing this content for them and is responding to them on Facebook and is giving them, you know, the time of day.
Yeah, they want you to succeed, Tom.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
So I launched the trailer and it blew up. It blew up. Within a couple of days, it had 10,000 views. Within a week, it had, oh God, I think within a month, it had over 100,000 views, right? Which for me...
Without spending money on it, no ads, this is all organic.
No. I did. I did spend money on it. And this is the other thing, right? I did spend money. I spent quite a lot of money on boosting the trailers on Facebook.
Ah.
Now, there's...
How much is quite a lot of money?
Thousands of pounds. Mm-hmm. Thousands of pounds I spent on boosting content and publicity. Thousands of pounds.
On the trailer or the actual
on
content?
On the publicity. On all of it. Oh, sorry, on boosting content. As well as the trailer, yes,
right.
And other content. I spent thousands of pounds.
So there's a button you can click on Facebook that just says boost this post. If you know it's popular, and then you'll see there's a good chance it's going to do well if you boost it. Mm. But, you know, you can get good results from spending £50 to £200 on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you were feeding it. How much were you spending on a typical post? Can you remember?
I have all the figures and all the numbers and all the everything all in a spreadsheet, which I would show you if I could. Is it on my phone? I would say, like, I might on the week of the launch, mm-hmm. I might have put £1,500 mm-hmm. to boost it for a week or 2 weeks, mm-hmm.
and that
maybe
would go out to the world or UK,
all over the world, Well, the US, Australia, and the UK primarily, because I knew that's where the core audiences would be. Right, and had been up to this point. Now, the important thing to note in this is it gives you stats that show organic reach and paid reach. Yeah. The paid reach was the same as the organic reach. So for every follower I was paying, I was getting one back. So it's very, very good. And the other thing I was noticing was the engagement rate was extraordinarily high. Mm-hmm. The trailer was shared a couple of thousand times. Mm-hmm. Shared.
Well, the way that Facebook algorithms work is, I believe, is that the more money you put into it over the longer period of time, the more the algorithm figures out the best way to promote your content.
Right.
So over time, it's smart. It just gets smarter and smarter the more money you put behind it. So it sounds like you put a good amount behind it so that it could really figure out who the best audience
and
was.
And when did you launch the campaign? 2 months after, but so, did you lead to that as well?
Yeah, like, so then what, once the trailer was launched, like it really blew up, like it was shared thousands of people. There are hundreds of comments on that post, hundreds and hundreds of comments. People, and I was like, holy shit, people really want this. Yeah. This is really amazing. Yeah. So what was building was momentum. This is the whole point. You're building momentum, getting people excited, giving people a desire for it. Mm-hmm. And I had to, of course, keep feeding them more content. So I was also then feeding more content, more interviews with people, which I would boost from time to time as well, and I'd cross-pollinate, all this sort of stuff.
What was your following up to at this point? Do you remember?
It sat on about 8,500 for the last 2 years, but it was getting up to, I don't know, God, it reached 5,000 pretty quickly, 5,000, followers. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why it's paused.
What's that reason?
The reason is because of, it's a whole other story. But, so it was climbing between, I think somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000, somewhere around this time.
At the time before the crowdfunding?
By the time the crowdfunding launched, it was over 8,000.
Over 8,000, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good in 3 months.
Yeah.
Like it had shot up substantially.
That's a great number,
Substantially.
3 months.
Yeah, 3 months. And at this point, I was getting ready to launch the campaign itself. And that 1 month period requires a whole other ball game of approach. Because one thing I had learned was that there's techniques that you need to employ. So you need to first choose the amount of money that you ask for should be, I think it was about 12%. Whatever you are asking for, you need to raise 12% of that, or is it 24? Either 12 or 24% of it in the first 7 days. Mm-hmm. You have to hit that, and you have to rely on that from your inner core. There's three sets of audiences. There's your core audience, which are people who know you, people who are invested in you automatically, and they love you, so they'll give you money to help you along your way. Mm-hmm. Then there's their network of people, right, which is the second tier. And then there's people who don't know you at all, who are just going to stumble upon this through various means or whatever, or don't know anything and they come across it, right? Mm-hmm. Those three tiers. Mm-hmm. You have to cater for content and strategy for each three tier, right? Mm-hmm. You have to focus on the first tier in the first week. You have to put absolutely everything into getting that core group of people to contribute. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you're going to lose momentum. And it's going to be very, very difficult to give confidence to second tier to invest. People who don't know you or don't know anything, will they don't want to back a loser. They want to back something that's obviously got some momentum and some heat and, you know, is going to be. So you have to hit that initial figure. Mm-hmm. Put everything into it.
Yeah. So that core audience paid off.
I think a week before I launched the campaign, Facebook started Facebook Live. And it was a godsend to me because it meant that I didn't have to go off and film stuff on my iPhone then re-edit it. I could just do live stuff. I could stream it straight like here. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to edit anything. I just boom, straight up there. I was like, great, it's gonna save me heaps of time. And I thought, why don't I make a live special? Like, you know, so I set up that room with all these people in it, did interviews with people live on Facebook, and you know, it was wicked. It was such a good thing.
So that live event, that wasn't something you'd seen someone else do. You just thought that would be a good idea.
Yeah. The week before, I went to a seminar about crowdfunding, and someone mentioned, you know, Facebook are doing this Facebook Live thing now. And I think actually someone there suggested doing something live for fun. I can't remember, but I got the idea at this event and I was like, I know what I'm going to do. And so I pulled all the favors I possibly could and got doctors and oncologists and various people in, got a space. A friend of mine's an event organizer. She got the space for me for free, got a publicity photographer to take photos, always get photos, get someone, everyone out there, pay for a professional photographer because that content, the photos they take, becomes content, and it's got to be high value, high quality content. So we had a publicity photographer there, and we just did this live thing, and it was wicked, and it was really cutting edge. No one had ever done anything like this before.
I was there. I was one of the extras, Tom.
You and Alex were there.
I had a special invite, and I remember sat there thinking, my God, it's like a live TV show.
Yes.
Because Facebook Live,
television.
It was such a new thing at the time. And we obviously knew that
it was a week old, mate.
That you had a great following as well
with
the cancel thing. We thought, oh my God, it's like live TV.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting.
And we had a few thousand people watching it as we were doing it, which is pretty cool. Like, it is actually a very cool thing.
I remember you had a whole rehearsed thing where you'd walk around and ask the questions, and
it was quite exciting. It was like a three-dimensional live show. And Nick Guttridge was filming. He was on my iPhone, plugged into so it didn't run out of battery, plugged into an extension cord, right? Running around after me. It was great fun. It was really fun. And we managed to find ways to make it like a live TV show. We had pointed the camera at the screen and we played a video and all this sort of stuff. It was carefully structured. And I did that the week before we launched. I wrote the whole show.
So that was a bit like Live Aid, where you'd turn to the camera and be like, so guys, if you want to donate, then you can donate on this page.
Yeah.
It was like a...
Yeah, and we'd talk to someone who was relevant to our audience, like an oncologist and a junior doctor and all that sort of stuff. And then we're like, okay, that was really interesting. All right, now everyone, the campaign, let's check back in with the campaign. And then we'd have live on the screen, we'd have a computer screen with the Kickstarter campaign right there, and we'd hit refresh, and boom, $2,000 popped up.
It was like Children in Need.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. It was really cool, actually. I think about that, and I think that was a really cool thing to do.
And what was the response to that? So
it was amazing. It was amazing. People loved it.
In terms of raising money, though,
we raised. Oh God, I can't remember how much we raised. Did we raise $6,000?
I remember you hit your target, whatever it was.
We hit our target for that night. We had a target for the night. We hit it, and then within the first week, we hit the 12%.
Coming back quickly, sorry, to the page itself, because the page itself, the campaign page, needs like some really serious thought.
Oh my God, that's a whole other ball game.
But we have to talk about this.
Okay, so in the lead up, so I was doing all the content for, so it's a big job,
yeah,
right? Like and I was working full, it is a full-time job to do this.
Yeah.
Right, it is a massive undertaking. So
I think I asked you this off camera. Do you think that you overdid it?
No, underdid it.
Right.
We fell short.
Wow.
We should have. Yeah. There's more we should have done. There's more we should have done.
You're giving away the ending now, Tom.
People really underestimated, I think, it as well. So
they
that's
completely
why
we underestimated.
Yeah.
We spent a fortune. I spent a lot of money. I spent thousands and thousands of pounds on this.
So leading up to that launch event, before you
So the page itself, I had to build as well on Kickstarter, which requires its own content and its own video.
Yeah.
So I needed a whole other video to put up. And the video is the most important thing. That's the thing, right? So I hired a studio that cost me $1,000. Or was it $600? I don't know. Had to hire another cameraman. The whole thing to shoot that video cost me another $1,500 or something like this. And I'm paying for this out of my own pocket. I'm paying for this with my editing money, right? And I'm going into debt. At this point, I'm going into pretty serious debt.
You can make videos without spending money as well.
You can.
But if you want them to be good, it depends on what your definition of good is.
I mean, this is what I did. Okay, I wanted it to look a certain way. I wanted it to feel a certain way. And in order to achieve what I wanted, I had to pay for it.
And just to quickly explain the Kickstarter video, it's not only the teaser trailer because you have to appear in it because it's the one that really appeals.
I had to present this trailer.
Yeah.
But that also required writing.
Yeah.
I had to write the whole thing. That whole thing's scripted. Very, very carefully scripted, that video.
Yeah, storyboarded, yeah.
Right? And that scripting process was extensive. Mm-hmm. There were three writers on that, right? Mm-hmm. Three writers worked together to make all that right.
Oh God, I can't believe the effort you went into in this song. Yeah.
So, and then the page itself, that's a huge amount of content on the page. Three writers wrote that, right? And then that needed its own graphic.
The written content's quite difficult because you have to think of your sales strategy for the funding.
Exactly.
So you have to come up with different tiers of packages to sell to people to raise the money.
Yeah.
What were the packages? What was that?
Oh, the rewards, do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't remember.
But for example, probably typical ones.
Red carpet launch.
Red carpet, okay.
You get a copy of the film. Yeah. You get a shout out on Facebook. There's a few good ones. You get...
Be an extra.
How could you be an extra?
But to get them, you went through the research, as you said.
I did. Like, I researched it all, and it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
But you can't just. You just can't.
Copy.
You have to carefully research all that stuff, and I did. I really did carefully research all of that.
So it consists of the video, the text. That's very important. The rewards that you give to the contributors, and what else? What else is important for
the page?
Video.
The video is the most important thing.
Is there any way to see or do you know how many people actually clicked on your page?
Yeah,
not the ones
they show
that
you those stats.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. They give you those stats.
Do you remember the stats
for
this?
I'd have to look it up. There's a lot.
You had the Facebook page.
Yep.
You did the launch event.
The website.
You had a teaser.
Yeah.
You had that content machine going out.
Yep.
And you had the Kickstarter page in a beautiful place.
Yeah.
From advice. Did you just then kick back and wait for it to come in?
Oh my
Was there more? Okay.
So you know how hard you know how much was going on leading up to it. Once the page launched, and it's just funny, I met my wife the day it launched, the day after its launch. That next day after that big evening, I met my wife.
Brexit,
the next day.
Wives.
Now I want to point something out. Other films that were very similar to mine. They brought in hundreds of thousands of pounds on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
The amount of engagement, now up until this point, the content that I was putting out was reaching large numbers of people on Facebook, and the engagement rate was huge. It was like 30% more. It was huge. People were watching the videos for like 50 to 60%, which is massive. It doesn't sound like much, but most videos are watched for less than 5%. Right? So the engagement rate, open rates, click-through rates on my email. My email's list is building through the website. I've got, you know, 1,500 people that I'm emailing updates to as well. I'm
also writing, forgot about the website I'm and writing, the email I'm database writing, as well.
So those people get their own special content, right? Special, they're special, so they get their own stuff. It's a whole other thing they've got to write every week, right? The engagement is 26 to 30% open rates, and these are very high numbers, right?
Do you use MailChimp or
use Campaign Monitor?
Okay.
Very, very, very high. And so my confidence, and I'm talking to experts about this, but people are really good at online marketing and online sales and direct marketing. That's what this is, right? I'm talking experts, advisors. This is very good, Tom. This is very good. It's very, we're confident, blah, blah, blah. I'm paying advisors to help me as well, 300 quid an hour. Like, but Pete, I'm like pulling out all the stops. Right? I'm going to give this everything. Anyway.
You would assume then that the money comes rolling in.
So when it launched, I was like, this is going to go gangbusters. Mm. But it didn't. It didn't. People, I mean, we hit our targets, but I was expecting it to go far. I was expecting it to go, to hit our target very quickly, to be honest with you. Mm. I really was. Mm-hmm. And when it didn't, I started to panic. Mm-hmm. You can go through the Facebook page. Anyone who's interested in this, you can go through the Cancer Convict Facebook page and track all of this entire story in terms of the content that I put out there. The entire show, the whole journey is still there, and it's very interesting to look back through it. And you can see the engagement rates and who's clicked and what and all this stuff. It's all there. Mm-hmm. So after it launched, and I'm very much part of the story here as well. So Tom Meadmore, the filmmaker, is, you know, out on Facebook and he's, hi everyone, we've just reached our target. This sort of content's coming out. And I'm Mr. Enthusiastic. Behind the scenes, I'm freaking out. Right? Oh my God, this is not gonna happen. Hi everyone, blah, blah, blah. I swear to God, that's what it was like.
After all the money you spent.
After all the money I spent, all the effort, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? This is a disaster.
Yeah. How much money did you spend?
I'd have to have a look. It was, may oh God, how much?
It sounds like about 5 to 10,000.
So easy. Yeah.
Okay. 10,000.
Maybe as much. Maybe as much. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Yeah. It's not in one hit.
No.
It's over a period of 6 months.
Yeah. And that's ads and that's expert advice.
And I also was borrowing money as well. I borrowed money to help with this as well. Mm-hmm. Like I was going into debt to do this.
Borrowing money, credit cards.
Mum.
Oh.
Borrowed money of mum.
I love mum.
Mum is very supportive. Thank you, mum. Thank you. And
so
I was freaking out.
So you got to the point where it wasn't working.
It was,
what did you do then?
Working, but it wasn't working what I thought it was. And I'm like, far out. What am I? Regardless of that, I still had to put out content every day. Mm. Every day I had to do something. Mm. Every day people were contributing and I had to put out a thank you, everyone. Woo, we didn't reach this target or whatever. I had to sort of keep it going. I had to constantly keep this momentum going and put on the face that it's all good. Because it was really. But, I mean, going through this is a whole other ballgame emotionally, right? And re-strategizing, recalibrating the strategy. And I thought, okay, do you know what I need to do? I need to do more of those Facebook Live events. So I did three more. I did three more of the bloody things.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you know?
No,
I did one with an oncologist.
I wasn't invited.
I had an oncologist. I did one with an oncologist and a Ayurvedic practitioner having a conversation on my sofa.
I vaguely remember.
Which was really interesting. Maybe I did one other one. One with a dietitian and an oncologist where I did have an audience there as well, right? Mm-hmm. That was right at the end. Mm-hmm. Organising those was no small thing, right? I'm still working full time. These are events I'm organising. Events. Also doing interviews with people. I'd get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd go over to a hospital and I'd do an interview with an oncologist and I'd finish at 8:30. I'd rush to work. In my lunch hour, I'd edit the content and then I'd put it up and then I'd be at home prepping all the content for the next day or the next, you know.
You must be dying for this to finish.
I wasn't dying for it to finish. I was just desperately trying to keep it going. Just keep the momentum going.
How long, sorry, did you set it up for?
Like 30 the goal? Days.
30 days.
So 30 month. Days.
1 month.
30
okay.
days. Yeah. I was working. Okay. I was working. Where was I working? I was working with my wife at the time. Mm-hmm. She was a funny companion to have through this process. So there's a lot of videos posted of me in an edit suite somewhere, and that's where we were working together.
So after all of this,
then there's a dip in the middle, mm-hmm. right? No one's contributing anything for a week. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a nightmare. Everyone warned me about it. And they said, you've got to do something in that week. So I set up a competition. I said, right, if I hit X, I think it was 12 grand or something, maybe 20. I can't remember. If we hit this target, if someone contributes by Monday, I'll go and do this thing. And do you know what I did? I'll dress up like David Bowie and I'll play a song as David Bowie in front of his memorial.
Genius.
It was the most ridiculous thing on the face of the earth. I regret every moment.
It sounds like desperation.
No, it wasn't desperation. It's a typical thing that people do. Like, I was going to go bungee jumping, but my mum said, no, you can't. I said, Mum, I'm a grown man now. I can do whatever I want. And then
she's like, no, I'm funding it.
Then my physio said, no, you can't go bungee jumping. So come up with something else. So I did that, and that was live.
David Bowie in Brixton, in front of the memorial. Yeah. Ooh.
So, and it was a total disaster, but I had to do it because we've reached our target. So yeah. It worked. We reached our target. Yeah. We got there. So,
But you can oversubscribe. Did you oversubscribe? So did you go above your target?
So in the end, what ultimately happened, I kept feeding it all through, and I, you know, kept mm-hmm. pushing and pushing and pushing. And I eventually was able to get a lot of help through cross-pollination. So other people, influencers, and I would have set this up a long time before. Mm-hmm. Had I had my time again, I also employed a PR company. I spent another $2,000 in the middle of it all on a PR company to put out a press release and try and get publicity for it mm-hmm. as well. Maybe the Mail will pick it up and I'll get a whole, you know, bunch of subscribers through the Mail. That's happened before. Didn't happen.
That didn't work.
Didn't happen. It was a waste of money. The whole thing, that was a waste of money. Mm-hmm. What I would do again is I would develop more relationships with other influencers that have hundreds of thousands of followers that are whose values are in line with mine mm-hmm. to do something on this and send it out to their followers. A couple of people did that.
The whole influencer thing wasn't a thing. Was it five years ago?
It was newer.
Yeah, it was very new. It was so you wouldn't necessarily think to do that. I don't know.
No, I didn't. I didn't think to. But it's a typical thing with cross-pollination with advertising generally and marketing. Yeah. But I do that. I do much more of that. And I was able to get a little bit of traction through that. And I think that helped push me over the line, I think.
Mm-hmm. So how much did you raise in the end?
In the end, it was 41,000.
Okay, great.
So we just made it. And then I collapsed.
But upon reflection, is this something that you would recommend people do?
I mean, I don't know if that's the right word, because even if someone had have given me all of this back when I was thinking of doing it, I would have eaten it up and used it as material to help me. I wouldn't deter me. I would have just gone, great, this is great. I'm going to do it. Once I made my mind up, I'm going to do it.
It did work for you.
It did.
Do you think you put more than £40,000 worth of effort into it?
Oh, it's not about that. You can't quantify it in that way. Yeah, I mean, in terms of economics, it's never about the money in that way. It's about having the means to finish something that you think is of greater value than all of that.
It's great exposure for the film as well.
It's great exposure for the film as well. There's an audience already inbuilt to release it to, yeah. And then, you know, it's still not finished. Mm-hmm. That was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm.
So you gave a good tip there about the influencers. Is there any other couple of practical tips that you could give people or that you want to leave people with?
I think that you'll be at a massive advantage if you've got a big team mm-hmm. of people. Massive advantage.
You were a one-man band.
I was a one-man band. Nick Guttridge helped me a lot.
Yeah.
And a few other people did as well. Alice ended up helping me a little bit. And wife, but people, yeah. She wasn't at the time, we'd just met, but she helped me a little bit. And then Mum helped me. People helped, chipped in. But in terms of doing the heavy lifting, a few people, if there was a few people doing heavy lifting, mm-hmm. that would have made the world of difference. Because the other thing is, the more people that are involved, you've got to think every person's got their own network of people, their own close network of people. Yeah. Every time you add a person to that group, then that expands. Yeah. On Facebook, I thought I'd get a 10% strike rate. So I was thinking, right, 300,000 people have watched this trailer, 1,300 have shared it. How many likes there were. Usually in sales, 10%, right? Mm-hmm. I was thinking 10%. If I can get 10%, I'll be in really good shape. It was more like 1.1% mm-hmm. of people, the conversion was. Mm-hmm. So really looking at those sorts of stats. And
that's a cancer film. and as well. Was a real need for that film.
Yeah. And so really looking at these kinds of things realistically, I think will manage expectations and give you insight that you need in order to put the right preparations in place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks for your time today, Tom. Yeah, I feel exhausted after that conversation as well because
no,
the amount of work
you
have to...
I crashed, mate. You know, I lost a tooth shortly, a week after. Suddenly my face blew up and I had to have my tooth removed.
Stress. Yeah. Stress. So thanks for your time today, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for being so interested.
And good luck with the cancer conference. Can't wait to see you.